The Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. On Cold 92.5.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo everybody, what's happening? Luke Bradnam with you. Ali Plath is our special co-host today as we hunt for Margot's replacement. Your final day with us today, Ali, and then...
I'm sad to go.
Yeah, it's been good.
I don't want to go, and therefore I'm not going.
Well, don't.
I won't.
Hang in here.
Imagine that, you come in tomorrow and I'm hiding under your desk.
Well, we'll have some new chick in here tomorrow. It's so hard, I've got to tell you. I mean, it's an interesting process trying to find a new co-host, but it's so hard just trying to get mojo with all these different people keep bringing in.
Yeah, I honestly don't know how you do it because, I mean, you're demoing with however many people.
Yeah.
And so you've got to try and build rapport with them.
Yeah, and then you
go... Is that why you haven't been nice to me?
Nah, come on. I've made an effort.
Mate.
A little bit.
Oh, he's made an effort. He's only just known my name, so, you know.
Yeah, look, listen, I feel flattered. Well, hey, don't you talk. You spelt my name wrong on the catch-up the first day, Brixie. You're in big trouble.
Oh, there you go.
No, look, thanks for having me, Lukey. I have loved it.
It's been good fun. And who knows, Ali? I mean, I'm not making the decision. We'll wait and see who the powers that be.
What will be, will be.
It's so tough. I feel for you. I mean, it's a tough one going in and basically having a job interview. On a radio show.
You're basically, getting to know a total random on air with everyone. You're under pressure. You've got Brixie sitting here screaming at you saying, 3 minutes. You've got Jeremy outside.
None of us know what he does.
No.
Yep.
Jeremy, what do you do, the producer?
Hangs around, looks at himself in the mirror as far as I can tell. None of us worked out what Jeremy... out what Jeremy does here, then you're good, you know, good on you.
He's got
Let me know when you find out.
Hey, how's this one? How's this? I went to this lunch today. At Musgrave Hill at the Bowls Club. And anyway, I get there. It was a Channel 9 lunch. So they're doing this thing where we go out and have lunch every Thursday with viewers.
Yep.
And I get there and I sit. I go, you got to go from these like myself, Brucey Page, Eva Millick. And we go around. We've got to go to every table and say good day to all the viewers.
Do you hug the people, the punters?
Oh, I'll shake them by the head. I'll give them a hug, you know, whatever.
Do you mean it?
Nah, yeah, of course I do. Of course I do.
Just checking. I'm just getting to know you. I'm actually also interviewing you.
No,
to whether you're going to get the job with me.
No, it was good. You know, you go out and meet all these viewers, and I've never done it before. We've done it a million times on the radio, but I've never done it for TV before.
Yep.
But anyway, I go along and I sit down at this one table. I'm like, "G'day, guys. I'm Luke," and I'm like, "Where are you guys from?" And they go, "Luke, we live in the same building as you." Okay. They go, "We live in the same apartment." And then they started to rattle off everything I've done wrong for like the 18 months that I've been living in there.
Like what?
Speeding in the car park.
Yep. You nearly wiped your surfboards off the roof the other day, wrecked the garage.
Parking my car not enough in the car park and leaving the arse end of the car out too far for other people to drive by.
Basically, you are the most selfish resident.
No, there's got to be someone more selfish than me. But what worries me, Ali, is I've got no awareness. Like, there's security in our building, and they're really great. Like, honestly, it's a great building with great security. But these guys are always, "Luke, you've got to slow down, mate. It's 5 kilometres an hour." Now, 5 kilometres an hour, that is a ridiculously slow speed limit, right? And I'm like, I'm going slow. And they're like, "No, you're not. You're speeding." And I go, "Well, show me the radar gun, mate. Where's the radar gun?"
Does it even register at 8 kilometres?
They don't even have a radar gun, right? But then it's got through to everyone that I'm speeding. Now, in my own head, I'm taking it easy. I swear, whenever I drive...
You are Miss Daisy in your own head.
In my own head, I'm going ridiculously slow, and yet still everyone is complaining about... And what worries me is not that I'm going to be unsafe, because I don't believe I'm an unsafe driver. What worries me is the lack of awareness I have of what I'm projecting that other people are picking up. Like, my girlfriend reckons that she doesn't really enjoy driving with me because I'm so impatient on the road. But in my own head, I'm really patient... But I must project something completely different to what I'm aware of.
Look, I've known you for 3 days now, and you do rush around this place like, I don't know what, a rabbit on heat.
Do I really?
Yeah, you do. You're very fast. And no judgment, mate.
Yep.
We're all different. Do what you want to do, be what you want to be. Yeah, but you are very rushed. You race in, you sit down in your corner, you pull your phone out, you're looking at your phone, you're scrolling through, and then you're out again. You bumped into me about five times, but you know.
Is that right?
I'm just getting to know you. Yeah, well, that's... I just thought you were on something.
No, I mean, I was used to be, but years ago. But I'm a clean skin these days. I'm a clean skin these days.
Good
no,
boy.
No, it's something that I need to work on because I've got no awareness.
You'll do some breathing, deep breathing. Do you want to do one right now?
No, not really.
That's your problem. Just do it.
I know.
Do one. Ready? One, two, three.
See, even when I do
how
that,
do you feel?
Even when I
see,
do
you
that,
you can't even finish the breath. You started talking and flapping on before you finished the breath. Mate.
You're saying exactly what my therapist tells me to do.
Okay.
I wanted to climb Mount Everest, and I mean, I still do. I really want to climb Mount Everest.
Yep.
And Joe, my therapist, he said to me one day, we're sitting in his room in Mudjabar, and we're looking out at the window, and he says, Luke, usually I'd get people to meditate for 20 minutes. He goes, you really need meditation.
Yep.
And he says, with you, I want you to meditate for 20 seconds. He said 20 seconds would be a real step in the right direction because you never stop.
And did
and
you
he said
it?
To me, he goes, we're human beings and you need to be. And you are never being, you are always doing.
Yep.
And I'm aware of that, but it's so against my instinct. My natural motive is that I've got to be doing something
and
all
when,
the time.
When he says that to you, does it speak to you?
Like, no, it doesn't. He said to me, this is what he said to me. He goes, I was talking about how I wanted to do Mount Everest. And he said, Luke, if you can sit in this chair here now, look out the window. Honestly, I will never forget this. And I hope one day I understand what he's talking about because this is going back over a year ago that he said it to me and I'm still no closer to working it out. But he said to me, if you could sit here and look at the tree out there and look at the leaves and really be in that moment where you're looking at those leaves, he said, you'll get as much out of sitting here in the chair and looking at the leaves as you would out of climbing Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And in my head, I go, that's bullshit. That is bullshit. But I respect him so much. I know that he's onto something, but I just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And he said to me, he goes, you know how you're always out running? He goes, well, you know when you're out running and you see these people and they're sitting down and they're looking out at the ocean? He goes, do you ever do that? And I go, no, I would never do that. And he goes, you know what they're doing? I go, no. He goes, they're just being in the moment and looking out at the ocean. And from the moment he said that, I actually do notice now when I'm out doing a run, I see these lunatics just looking at the ocean. I go, get up and go for a run.
But you need to give it a crack.
Luke, I'm going to put the challenge to you now. We got time. I'm going to count it 20 seconds from now. It's 10 seconds.
He's nearly there. He's nearly done.
Very well.
I'll tell you one of the hardest things I've done in my life. And I've done Ironmans, I've climbed mountains. One of the hardest things I've ever done in my life was I was at this place once and these people were into me about the fact that I have to slow down.
Yep.
And they sent me off to something which some people wanted to go to. You could go to it or you couldn't go to it, but I had to go to this thing. And I didn't know what it was. And I turn up and when I get there, I walk into a room and it's completely pitch dark and sitting in the room is a monk, full monk in the whole outfit and everything, yep. Right? And he's cross-legged in the room. And I go in there and all I had to do was sit still for an hour with my legs crossed.
Yep.
You weren't allowed to do anything other than sit still. And I swear to God, that 1 hour was one of the worst hours of my life. Friggin' hard to just sit there. And when we came out of the room after an hour, and the whole way there, I was just like, I've got to get up and walk out. I've got to get out of here. But I wasn't allowed to. And when I finally got out, I talked to all the other people that were in there, and they were like, how awesome was that? God, how relaxing was that? Wasn't that so relaxing? And I hated it. Hated it with a passion. Anyway, I don't even know how we got onto all that.
Next minute, next hour.
I'm opening up about my therapy with you guys, and all I was supposed to do was introduce the bloody podcast. What's on the podcast this afternoon? Well, why don't you just listen to the bloody thing and you'll find out for yourself. We'll cop you tomorrow.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Your husband had a shocker, you're telling me, Ellie.
He did. Well, my hubby, Stevie P, does all the drop-offs, school drop-offs in the morning for our two girls. Now, Stevie P, just to put it in context, because obviously...
Why do you call him Stevie P?
Steve Plath.
Oh, okay. All right. Stevie P.
Mate.
Right. Well, I don't know. It sounds a weird name to me. Yeah, what happened?
I'll call him Steve. He's hopeless with getting people's names wrong, you know, mixes people up all the time. He's a shocker. And as you said, he's had one yesterday. He was dropping the girls to school. And there's always a big queue at the lights that turn into the school. So he's about six cars in front of him. And so the car in front, he says, oh, that's, he thinks to himself, that's Maddie Tanner's dad, that's Ian. So he goes, beep, beep, because he's a bit of a stirrer.
He thinks it's a mate.
He thinks it's his mate. So no acknowledgement at all from Ian, or so who he thinks, in the car in front. So he's given it another one, beep, beep, but he's given it a decent amount.
Yeah.
And so then old mate's looked in the rear view, and Steve, my husband's just proceeded to give him a massive finger. He's given him the bird. And so our 13-year-old in the front, she's like, Dad, what are you doing? She's immediately blown up because, of course, no 13-year-old wants to be embarrassed like that. And he goes, settle down. It's Ian Tanner. It's Maddie's dad. And she's like, no, it's not. They don't even have a white car. So anyway, then Steve's totally panicking. So then, of course, you've got to do the 5 to 10 minute crawl while you're in the queue.
And he's
so
stuck
the whole
mate.
Time he's stuck behind old mate, and he's giving him the stink eye in the rear view. Steve's trying to skulk down, so they're moving along. They finally get to the car park, and this guy's parked on one side of the car park. My hubby has hightailed it right to the opposite end, and he's saying to the kids, get out, get your stuff.
What a coward.
I know.
What a coward.
Get your stuff out of the car. So they're, of course, taking the longest they've ever taken before, and he's watching this other random dad the whole time in the corner of his eye. So random dad is coming up to the car. He's doing like the drive-by Compton crawl
right
past the car. So what do you reckon my husband did?
Floored it.
Slunk down.
Oh, what a coward.
He put the visor down, he's pulled the hat down, and he slunk down in his seat. He was absolutely, totally.
That is so funny. That is so funny. I've copped it before.
Have you?
What about this one? I'm in pack fair.
Yeah.
Guy comes up, knocks the hat off my head.
Yes.
And kidney punches me and goes, ah. And I turn around and I'm an identical twin. He knows my brother and thought I was my brother, and he's kidney punched me. Never met me before in his life.
Oh, no.
Could have been worse for your husband. Oh, that is funny.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
There was a story emanating from the Brisbane Broncos women's rugby league team that won the premiership on the weekend, and they all get those premiership rings.
Yes, sensational effort from the girls.
Yeah, they get these big Liberace-style rings, and the girls were wearing them, obviously, because they're proud as anything. They've just won their second premiership, except it went horribly wrong for one of the chicks. Have a listen to Wally Lewis last night on the news.
And when Bronco Millie Boyle was gifted her grand final premiership ring, she wouldn't have expected it would end like this. In the surgeon's chair to have her prize jewel delicately sliced off her finger. Tonight, the band is in desperate need of repair, with Millie's teammates hinting that next time perhaps she should reserve the ring finger. There's always the premiership pinky.
What happened, Ellie? Aww. She whacked it on a finger and then she couldn't get it off. Like, it got stuck on her finger and her finger blew up like a balloon because it cut off the circulation.
Oh, no.
You know how sometimes you can get sometimes you can get a ring on your finger. It goes on pretty easy, but then you can't get it off.
No.
She couldn't get this thing off.
She needed the Vaseline.
Yeah.
Stat.
But how do you get it off? Like, I've had it before where it's been stuck for a moment and I just get some soap or something that comes off. But hers was dead set a surgeon's job to get it removed. And you should have seen a finger. It was massive. It was so swollen.
She had like sausage fingers.
Yeah, sausage fingers.
Oh no, the poor thing.
Have you ever had anything like that happen?
I have had definitely rings get stuck where you couldn't get them on. And the problem is then you get all frantic and panicky and, you know, you start to sweat and, I don't know, just grease it up. So that's what I say. That's my advice.
There's a lady I know and her engagement ring, something's happened to her, like on her engagement ring finger, her knuckle has really swollen.
Yes.
Since she's had the ring on. Now, the ring still fits around her finger. It doesn't cut the circulation off. But because her knuckle has grown so much, it's impossible for the engagement ring to come off. It will not come off anymore.
Without cutting it off.
And she's had it on now for something like, it's over 20 years since she's been able to take it off. It's not a health hazard for her.
Yep.
But she just can't take it off because the knuckle has now grown so much.
How's the relationship going? Geez, you're going to have to keep looking after your partner, aren't you?
She's got to keep putting in the hard yards.
Yes, she does.
Hey, but we want to open the phones up for you. 132710 is our number here at Gold 92.5. Have you had this happen? Did you get it stuck like what the chick from the Brizzy Broncos had? Or have you had it like this lady that I know where she's had her ring on her finger for 20-something years without coming off?
Yep.
Because it just can't.
And having to nurture the relationship.
Angela's called through from Eleonora. What's your story, Angela?
Well, every now and then my hands will swell up with either the humidity and also with dermatitis.
Oh, you poor thing.
And my fingers just, the rings will not come off. I've got both the engagement one and the wedding one and they will not come off. And it has been so swollen that it has gone pretty well blue, my finger.
Oh, no. So what, like, does your hand start throbbing?
They do, especially when you start to panic. I'm thinking, I've got to get it off because I'm getting my hand circulation coming off. But yeah,
need to dunk it in a bucket of ice.
Hey, that's
shrink it down.
Mother Nature, the universe is telling you something, Angela.
Oh no,
Diane. Diane from Gilston, what's your story?
Hi, I've been married for 43 years, and my ring got stuck. I was allergic to something. My engagement ring off. I got off at 10 o'clock. 2 o'clock, I ended up waking my husband up because I tried everything, and he got it off with an angle grinder.
Oh, I was going to say, are you allergic to marriage? No.
No, definitely not. Oh.
Did he cut you with the angle grinder?
Yes.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
How bad was it? How bad was the injury?
I had to go to the doctors the next day.
Oh, no.
Yes. The ring I've got back now, it's been fixed by a jeweler, but it's got a lot of marks on it, so it's a good talking point.
Yeah, man. Hey, good on you. Thanks for your call.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
They just announced the ARIA Award nominations, and fair dinkum, it's thicker than what the old Yellow Pages used to look like. I think you're a unique artist in Australia if you didn't get an ARIA Award nomination. There's thousands of nominations.
Yeah, well, there's just so many artists now. I mean, there's so many kids, you know, all of these shows making these makeshift singers, Australian Idol, what else?
Well, there's like all these different categories. So there's like best pop release, best music release, best dance release, best children's release. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But the really big ones, I guess, are album of the year, artist of the year, and song of the year.
Are you right into your music?
Not really.
Yeah, neither am I.
I like to listen to it, though. You know, yep. I like to hear what's going on. We do the top five every week on the show. In fact, we'll be doing it a little later this afternoon, and we judge the top five songs in the country. But it's fun to look it back and see, okay, these songs, how many of them are there, Bricks? Are there 10 all up, 10 nominations?
I think there's 9.
9 nominations for a Best Australian Song released in the last 12 months, and we're going to play a snippet from each of them for you.
Yep.
And then make our predictions, so which one we think is the best song out of this 9. So these are all nominated for Song of the Year. The nominations got released a couple of hours ago. Let's have a listen. Is it easier to stay?
To spare, I've got something to say. Let's get a little day drunk, party with that shades on. Now we're talking about confidence, baby.
Dance for me, dance for me, dance for me. Oh, oh. Another scene.
Hey, they're good, huh?
I actually really like all of them.
Well, there was one, the second last one, I'd never even heard that one before.
The second last one?
Yeah, who was that, mate?
Confidence by Ocean Alley, which was number one on the Triple J, hottest 100 last year.
Never heard. Is that the whole Dance With Me, Dance With Me, that one?
No, it's Tones and I. Oh.
No, it was, and then, mate, I love the Hilltop Hoods one. That's a kicking song.
Leave Me Lonely.
That is a good song. And the Amy Shark one, the second one we played as well, was awesome. But we got some good artists.
I'm happy with all of them. I mean, I recognise most of them. I'm with you. I didn't know what the second last one was.
Yeah, I didn't know that one. And the other one, I'll tell you the other thing I learned out of that little montage you've just put together, Brixie, was the that one where Let's Get a Little Day Drunk. I thought that was a Yank that sang that song.
He's from Newcastle.
Is he? Mate, he sings with an American accent, that dude.
Yeah, you've got to if you've got to make it in Nashville.
He
must be from down around Tamworth.
I had no idea. I wonder if he wins this song if he gets up and he accepts it with an American accent as well. Does he put the Aussie one on for that?
I don't know.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I don't know if you watched The Bachelor at all, or Bachelorette, I think, started last night.
I love The Bachelor.
Did you watch Bachelorette last night?
I didn't, because I was busy, mate, preparing for a show that I'm trialling for at the moment.
Oh, what a pro you are.
The Luke Bradnam show.
What an absolute pro you are, Ali. Hey, well, I watched a little bit of it anyway. My girlfriend's right into these shows, and I sit there and I
do you like it? I have to know that, because I love it.
I got to tell you, I've done a little bit of work on TV shows, like these reality TV shows.
What have you done?
I've done a little bit on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, the UK version. I've been the stand-in host for that. And
are you joking?
No.
I've done the Crash Test Dummy for the UK version.
Yeah, okay. So you'd know a little bit about it as well. Okay. And the point being that I can see how contrived these shows are.
Yes.
But I can sit there, and I don't want to take the fun away from my girlfriend who really enjoys it, but I can see how scripted and contrived they are. And
that's exactly why I love it. I love thinking about the people in the editing room pulling it all together.
Right. But they had a guy on there last night, and it was uncomfortable for a little bit. I want to ask you, I'll tell you something about my relationship with my girlfriend, and you tell me if you think I was being a bit of a knob in this way, okay. Because this guy was a bit of a tool last night. He was a counsellor from Noosa. Absolute jerk off, this guy. Like, just a real nerd. He comes up dressed up like in the mayoral robes. He's not even the mayor of Noosa, but he rocks up and he gives her the keys to the city. He like tells her that he's like Prince Charming, and he basically carries on as if he owns Noosa.
Okay.
Meantime, he's just a councillor for Noosa. And then what he did was he did something that was pretty embarrassing. He gets down on bended knee and he goes, "Do you know what these are?" And he's got a set of keys, obviously. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "Oh, I don't know. You've been such a sap to this point. You've been so bloody sappy at this point."
Did she say that?
No, but you could tell what she was thinking. She goes, "Oh, let me guess. He's been so corny that she figures, oh, are they the keys to your heart?" And he goes, No. "These are the keys to my unit. These are the keys to my house." And he's never met this girl before in his life. He's never met her. And he says, "I'm giving you the keys to my house."
As in, move in.
Well, who knows?
We'll come back.
You can come over whenever you want. And
what an idiot.
And he goes, "But I'm not going to tell you where I live just yet," right? And you can tell she's going to throw him off the show. She hustles him off as soon as she can. But the reason it was uncomfortable for me to watch, very early on in my relationship with Lauren, she came over, and I'm not a player, Ali. Like, it was not like I had to, you know, stop seeing 100 different girls.
Yes, okay.
I literally went out of my marriage, and the first person that I went on a date with
was
Lauren. Yeah. And I bought when she came to my place, I didn't have anything to hide. And I knew that I was very much into her.
Pretty straight customer is what you're saying.
I gave her keys to my unit, or at least I offered to give her keys to my unit. I'm honestly maybe the second or third time she came over to my unit.
And why did you do that?
Because I just wanted her to be a part of it. Like, I knew that I wanted her to be a part of my life.
So this happened very quickly for you.
Yes, and okay. She sort of jokes about it. She's like, "God, this guy's full on." Like, that I was being too full on for her, yep. Because it was such a forward move.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just like, well, no, not really. I just want you to... I want you to be able to come and go as you please. I
think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
But then you're basically the same as this douche on The Bachelorette.
Exactly.
Last
that's exactly. That's the problem. This guy was getting painted as an absolute douche last night for doing that. And I'm sitting there meantime going, "What a jerk off." Yeah. He's never even met this girl. And then I'm thinking at the back of my head, I did the exact same thing. I did the exact same thing.
You were looking into the mirror of truth. Yeah.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
New co-host tomorrow, Ali. I bet you're death riding her.
Yes, of course I am. No, I wish everyone well.
Nah, you
may
don't.
The best woman win.
Nah, that's not true.
Yeah,
you don't want to wish. But anyway, we'll find out who the new co-host is tomorrow. But I got a quick story before we get into the top five songs in the country. I went out to a lunch today. Went out to Musgrave Hill Bowls Club, and it was a Channel 9 function. We're going out and meeting viewers.
Yep. Is that why you're all schmicked up in your pink shirt and your flamingo socks?
Yes. And I go out there, and I had the strangest thing happen to me, because I go out, and a lady comes up to me, and she goes, "Luke, I listen to you every day on the radio. Love your radio show. You're a character, and you know you're cheeky and all this sort of stuff." And then she goes, "I got to say, you're taller than you sound." And I go, "How tall do I sound? Like, what is it?"
Yes, she goes, "You sound really short."
She says, "I listen to you on the radio, but I've never seen you in person, and you're a lot taller than you sound." And I go, "How tall do I sound?" And she goes, "You sound like a midget," is what she said. She said,
"Oh, you can't say that now. You got to say short statured."
Well, she said a midget. And,
okay.
And she goes, "You sound like you're about 5 foot," is what she said to me. And I had one person once at a radio listener lunch. They came up to me and they go, "You know, you're not as fat as you sound."
Oh, I've had that too.
"You're not as fat as you sound." Now, what they were actually saying there, if you read into it, it's like you're still fat, but you're just not as fat as you sound.
Yeah, because you're not as fat. Well, I had a guy once say to me, "I thought that you were going to be short, with short dark hair and really overweight." Like, what am I possibly saying to make you think that? I mean, he was right.
Okay, let's get into the top five songs in the country. Let's do this.
And the countdown begins. Now it's time for the top five.
New intro, Brixie, for the
top
five.
We got a new intro. It's the first time I've heard it.
Horrible.
Yeah,
intro.
I should have listened to that before I did that.
Really horrible. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What we've got here is the top five songs in the country. Ali, let me let you know how this works.
Okay.
Brixie will play us the top five songs, and you and I just judge them and let everyone know if we like them or if we hate them.
Got it.
Okay?
Bring it on.
If we like them, we give them one of these. And if we don't, we give them one of these. What's number five, Brixie?
Number five, you'll be pleased. It's gone down. It's number five, but you still hate it. This is Kane Brown and Marshmello.
I've been wrong about a million times, but I got one thing right.
Can I tell you something about this song? Ali, I've been hating this song for 6 weeks. Brixie, you've preempted me here, mate, but I've got to tell you something. This morning, I'm travelling through Main Beach.
Oh.
And I started listening to this song. I've hated this song since it came out.
Yeah.
I listened to this song this morning, and I went, you know what, this song is actually my life right now.
Oh, no.
This song speaks to me. Like, and I listened to the lyrics for the first time.
What are they?
Go and listen
Come on,
to it yourself.
Listen.
But it's basically like you've made every mistake in the world.
Oh.
You've messed your life up left, right, and center, but you got one thing right. And I listened to it with different ears this morning, and I went, this guy has almost put my life into a song. And Brixie, I've got to tell you,
no.
I like the song.
No,
you like the song.
I like the song.
I need to know what's the one thing in your life that you got right.
Well, you got to listen to the song. You work it out. It's your own interpretation, but it's pretty simple if you listen to it. What do you think? Do you like it, Ali?
Yeah,
yes,
I don't mind it.
Okay,
I'll give it a tick.
Okay.
All right, cool. Now, Ali, how are you going with this one? This is number four. It's dropped down. There's a few movements today. This is Blinko Brown, the Get Up.
I'm gonna do the two-step and cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin out with him. Do the hold down and get it.
Everybody.
Jeez, it's hanging around this one, isn't it? I like it, Brixie. Give it a thumbs up for me.
Yeah, I can jig to that.
Cool.
All right.
I'll get rid of that one. Number three, it's gone up a little bit. This is Maroon 5.
Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Because the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through.
Yep, like it already.
Toast to the ones that it. Are we playing this, Brixie?
Not yet, no.
Oh, we got to get this on.
Yeah,
this,
I really like that. This
it
is
sounds
my jam.
Beautiful. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. And I hate Maroon 5, but I like that song. It's good.
No, I haven't heard this one. This is a brand new entry. This is a country artist again. This is Dan and Shay and Justin Bieber. This is 10,000 Hours.
I'd spend 10,000 hours, 10,000 more. Oh, if that's what it takes to learn that sweetheart of yours.
Yep, 10,000 ticks from me, Biebs. Gets a tick.
It's a catchy song. I've never heard. That's the first I've heard of it.
Yep.
But yeah,
I've never heard it either. I like it.
Yeah, I do. Same. I like that song. I like love songs. Well, when you're in love, you love songs, and when you're not, you hate them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is a nice song.
You just want to hear the breakup songs when stuff's going bad. What else? Get me out of here.
Number one song, Brixie, what is it? Dance for me.
Dance for me, dance for me, dance for me, oh-oh. I've never seen anybody do that thing to do.
There's no stopping this song. Mate,
this is a first for me. I think it's the first time in the history of us doing the top five that I've dug all five songs. I like this one. It's a good one.
It's a yes from me. Absolutely.
Actually, that would be the first in history you've dug all five songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's because I did a 180 on that first one that you played, the country music one.
I'm still in a little bit of shock on that one.
Okay.
There's two country ones in the top five. What's doing? It's making a massive comeback.
Can I just say, Ali, it's been great having you here for the last 3 days. I know we're going to have a new co-host tomorrow as we continue our hunt for Margot's replacement. You've been a lot of fun to be with, and thank you very much.
Well, can I say thank you to you boys? You've actually really made me feel at home, as has everyone in the office. So, thank you.
Well, good luck with it all.
I did what I could. I hope I didn't totally stuff it up. I mean, I'm just amazed that I've lasted the 3 days.
Nah, you didn't totally stuff it up. You've been great.
I stuffed a few
things. Just a little bit.
Let's be honest.
You've been fantastic, Ali. It's been a lot of fun. We'll find out who our new co-host is tomorrow
afternoon.
And
listen, can I say to her,
yes,
good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
May the best woman win. Bring it on.
There you go.
And I hope I win.
Yeah, of course you do. She's deaf riding you. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow afternoon for 3 for your local drive home. Copy you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.